Attention Magazine, making a difference for people affected by ADHD. Check out the August issue, where we'll cover back-to-school tips and strategies, college and alternative schools for your child with ADHD, apps and assistive technology, pros and cons, and lifelong education. Attention Magazine is chad.org. Click, join, get involved. Download the Attention Magazine app on iTunes.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
All right, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and my co-host tonight is with us, Caroline McGuire. Caroline, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing pretty good. We got a great show tonight, ADHD and discipline in the discipline process, what parents need to know. And I think, Caroline, this is a really good show because it's going to be very much talking about what parents need to do in advance to kind of take care of some situations if they arise down the road. And it's you know, it's one of those things, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, so I'm pretty excited about it.
It's a wonderful topic, and, you know, those of us who work with folks with ADHD, a lot of this stuff comes up, and people wish they had known.
Absolutely, and we have the perfect guest tonight, Rob Todisco, who's an attorney, and if you're listening out there, we did a show with him just on him, just on Rob Todisco as an ADHD community asset. I encourage you to go Google Attention Talk Radio Todisco, T-U-D-I-S-C-O, an asset, and it will come up. We'll talk about him a little bit in the bio in a second, but he's probably one of the single greatest assets to the community, and we'll talk a little bit more about where he has his feet in so many places. But really quick, tonight is Wednesday, September the 16th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the year 2015. We do have some announcements. One of our very, very loyal, and I do mean loyal, advertisers, the Edge Foundation, has asked us to do a few things, and they're very busy these days. One, they're just now they're launching a webinar called Behind the Wheel with ADHD, and if you're familiar with any of the statistics of ADHD teens driving behind the wheel, it's enough to make you a little nervous. And this webinar is very, very enlightening, and they're doing a lot of training of driver's ed instructors and stuff like that. I encourage you, if you've got an ADHD teen that's 15 or 16 that's getting ready to drive, go check out the edgefoundation.org/parents/webinars. We're going to talk to them about these URLs, about shortening them. But anyway, that's that. Also, if you happen to be an ADHD coach and you're looking for some CEUs, or if you want to add career coaching to your toolkit, they have a program that they're announcing called Career Service Specialty Training with one of my absolute favorite individuals on the planet. That's Wilma Fellman and her sidekick, Vicky. For more information on that, go to edgefoundation.org/coaches/CCEU. Also, the CHAD conference is right around the corner. It's in November, the 10th through the 12th in New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm going to be there. Caroline's going to be there. In fact, everybody, we're actually doing a sneak preview show at the end of this month on the 30th with Ari Tuchman. We've got some interviews of some key speakers like Dr. Olivardia, Eric Kivers, Marie Paxson, among other people. So check that out. If you haven't been to a conference, you need to go. You can learn more about it at chadd.org. And I think that's the end of our announcement. So, Caroline, you ready to go for tonight?
I'm absolutely ready to go. I can't wait to hear what Rob has to say. He's been doing some education, and he can share with our audience.
Absolutely. Well, Rob is a nationally recognized author, ADHD motivational speaker, and nonprofit management consultant. He's a practicing attorney and adult with diagnosed with ADHD. From 2010 to 2013, he was the executive director of the EDGE Foundation, a nonprofit organization that provides specialized coaching for students with ADHD and executive functioning impairment. He's the past president of the National Board of Directors at Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Disorder, i.e. CHAD. He's a current member and past chair of CHAD's Public Policy Committee, and he's also been the vice chair of the Attention Deficit Disorder Association in the past. And he's an expert on special education law and disability advocacy, and he has been, it's like a dog's breath of things, CNN, Newsweek, ABC, BCC, The Today Show, that he's been, he's very much an amazing resource. We encourage you to learn a little bit more about Rob at Rob. Tudisco, TUDISCO.com. With that, Rob, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Jeff. Just one quick correction. I was not the president of CHAD. I was a board member for those years.
Okay, all right. All right. There you go.
Thanks for the promotion.
Our pleasure. Rob, we've had you on many, many times as expert in a legal person, and we've talked about different tonight. Tonight's really very much about prevention. Is, you know, if you're a parent, you've got an ADHD teen, and you're worried about like the worst case scenario, we want to talk a lot about what you need to do or what you can do to kind of prepare for that. And I've read through some of your stuff on this, and I think one of the things that stands out to me that I kind of want to just, I don't have a solution for it up front, but many people are reluctant to kind of go in and be public with a diagnosis and set up a paper trail. Some people don't really want to do that, and I think that's a decision that everybody needs to make. But tonight, I think one of the keys is if you have an adolescent who has ADHD, if you are to go in and be proactive about making things public, it can save you a lot down the road if trouble arises. We'll kind of talk about the premise of that, and we'll get into the details.
Sure. First of all, for a lot of reasons, I think that one of the things we as a disability community have to do is kind of stop apologizing or making it secret that kids have ADHD or any other disability for that matter. I think it actually fuels the stigmas that are out there. But in a practical sense, what is really important for parents to know is that if your kids are a behavioral problem, and it's not limited to ADHD, there are kids with Asperger's that I represent all the time or other disabilities, if they get suspended at school, there is an extra layer of protection for them under the law if they are classified with a disability. And so if you are reluctant to, some parents don't like to label their children, for instance, but if, you know, one of the aspects of ADHD that is so important and what I call the behavioral culprit is the inherent impulsivity that many of us have. And so that can lead to behavioral issues. And if that is a problem to a certain degree, you can really add so much extra protection to your child. And I'll explain how that works. But for practical reasons, it's really important to consider that. There is a mechanism to alert people after your child gets in trouble, but the deck is kind of stacked against you. I still recommend doing it at that point, but we'll talk about that a little bit as we go.
I just want to kind of go back. Rob, you brought up a couple really, really, really good points, and you started out with stop apologizing for the disability, and you said this before. You didn't say it right now, but silence breeds shame.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Caroline, it's funny because we done an interview with Stephen Henshaw about ADHD and stigma, and we've also done some shows about with ADHD being gay and talking about gay rights and that type of stuff. And it's interesting because the more people talk about it and kind of come out, there's a higher level of acceptance, and it's kind of interesting how that plays out. Thoughts?
Yeah, and you know, I think Rob would probably agree doing what he does. Something I see is that there's often a label, right? There's, mm-hmm. you know, if you have no diagnosis or you keep the diagnosis quiet, people label kids as, you know, a pain, you know,
uh-huh.
too much, you know, completely out of control. As opposed to looking through the lens of you know, this behavioral culprit. I really like when you say that, Rob, of the impulsivity. And it sounds like, Rob, what I'm hearing is that the paper trail can actually create some protections. And I know I have kids who are even kicked out of camp and stuff.
Yes, it definitely, I mean, legally speaking and practically speaking, it can do a lot more to protect your child from a lot of what can happen in a suspension process, and parents just need to know that.
Right.
I mean,
okay.
You know, Jeff, you indicated earlier that, you know, parents need to do this and they may need to make decisions as to whether or not they're going to report their disability and so on. Mm-hmm. But what our job here really tonight is to kind of really let them know what the potential consequences are so they can make an informed decision as to whether or not they should report and under what circumstances.
And so that leads into, like, jump into, there's an extra layer of protection. So I'm going to go to an extreme. If you have a student in school in places, if they are suspended for more than 10 days, there is this extra layer of protection. Can you just talk about kind of what that is? And we'll circle back about how it's important that there's a paper trail leading into that.
Sure. If your child is classified for special education or has a 504 plan, under the law, they cannot be suspended for more. Well, first of all, under the law, they can't be suspended for more than 10 days without a process kicking in. That is a superintendent's hearing, in which it's a bifurcated hearing. It comes in two parts to decide whether or not they actually committed the act that they're being suspended for, and the second part is what the proper penalty should be based upon their history of behavioral issues, etc. If that student has an IEP or has a 504 plan, they get an extra layer of protection. I keep saying that, but what that means is that if it's determined that they've committed the act, which they 99% of the time have done, and when there is some discussion of what the punishment should be, what happens is they are entitled, this extra level is what's known as a manifestation determination. And what that means is, assuming the child has is classified for special ed or has a 504 plan, once they are found, I guess, guilty of committing this act, then what happens is the special education or the 504 committee is supposed to get together and make a determination as to whether or not the behavior is a manifestation of that child's disability. And usually that's not a big stretch if it's, you know, impulsivity or aggressive behavior, if, you know, that's the pattern for that child.
Yep.
If a manifestation determination is made, okay, now this is really very important. What happens is, first of all, the child cannot be suspended more than that initial 10 days because they should not be punished because of their disability, number one. Number two, the school also has a number of affirmative things that they are required to do at this point. They are required to do a functional behavioral assessment of that child, and also to put into place a behavioral intervention plan to prevent that behavior from happening in the future. And that's really important. We're not talking about this behavior as an excuse for the behavior. They still have to be responsible for their behavior. What the diagnosis of ADHD or the manifestation determination really does is it helps us understand where this behavior came from so that we can prevent it from happening tomorrow. That's really the basis of it. When people think you might be using it as an excuse, that is the basis of your argument there, and that's what the law provides. That's really important. The other thing that the committee or that the team is supposed to do is they are required to reassess the IEP or the 504 plan, make sure it is adequate, and also make sure it's being followed. That is also an affirmative requirement that comes into play with this manifestation determination. And so it's really very important that parents need to know that if they're making a decision whether they want to have their child evaluated or classified, if they decide not to, what they are potentially risking. And based upon whether or not your child poses a potential behavioral issue, then that is a risk that you may be taking. So you need to know this.
So I'm gonna I'm going to oversimplify this, so I'm going to go to an extreme and kind of come back. Is if it's documented that ADHD and there's an incident and a behavioral issue, it's kind of like you go through this extra layer and they sit there and let's separate the behavior that's related to ADHD and the act. You're still responsible for the act, but now there's this heightened level of awareness that, hey, there's we got to provide more resources here to manage this, and even in some cases provide maybe different
interventions.
In different interventions, which many times could be more positively seen from the parent's perspective in that particular situation. Now, I've simplified that a lot, but is that kind of close?
That is accurate. There's also one thing I want to mention. There's one exception that is if the behavior involves a weapon, a serious injury, or drugs, then
okay.
The student, even though the manifestation determination is found, they can be suspended for 45 school days. That's the maximum
okay.
on that for that exception. But I've seen, for kids that are not classified, I've seen suspensions now going into a year and a half as schools try to take zero tolerance policies.
Wow.
We did a
whole other show on going to prison and recidivism. It seems to me if you're going to take them out for like a year and a half, you're actually throwing salt and gasoline on the fire, but that's a whole other conversation.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, Jeff, because there's another thing that parents need to know about is while this process is going on, many of the acts that occur at school that could warrant a suspension are also illegal acts, and the school is required in most cases to report these to the police. And so as difficult as it is to deal with your child being suspended and everything that goes along with that, there's often a simultaneous arrest for the same behavior, and you have to deal with a criminal prosecution, in many cases community outrage, sometimes press coverage. I've been involved in many of these cases involving press coverage, and it can really be a perfect storm. That's where that came from.
Yep.
Oh,
wow. Rob, I need to go to a break real quick. We'll come back. I want to kind of pick up where that is and kind of talk about some of the other things that you're doing. Everybody, to learn more about Rob, go to www.robtodisco.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm here with Rob Todisco and my co-host, Caroline McGuire, and we're having a great conversation. What parents need to know, kind of in advance to prepare if you have an ADHD child that's having to go through a disciplinary process. And, Caroline, before the break, I think it's just an interesting thing is if you're a parent and you're worried about the behavior of your son, I think this conversation really centers around considering going and having the diagnosis disclosed with the school or whatever and start a paper trail so that once it happens, it's like, okay, it's clear that we have this situation kind of going on as opposed to having to say it's been there when they didn't necessarily know that. Seems to make a lot of sense to me. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense to me, and I'm interested in the fact that the 504 plan offers the same protections. Am I understanding that correctly, Rob?
Yes, it is. You can't. Well, it's worded a little different. The effect is essentially the same. Under the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights has determined that, similarly to the protection of manifestation determination under an IEP, that students with a valid 504 plan, their placement cannot be changed unless this determination is made as well. So they have the same protection. Yes.
Wow, that's really interesting, and I bet a lot of parents don't know that, because I know many, many parents are often sort of, you know, disappointed because the 504, as we know, doesn't offer the same services at times and has some different nuances. But I think it's really interesting because, you know, if that protection is offered equally, that's something I think parents should really want to know.
Yeah, and I think the rationale behind both of these, it's important to understand, is that both IDEA and Section 504, for students between preschool through 12th grade, there's a component in both of those laws called child find. And what that essentially means is that at that age, before high school graduation, the school district has an affirmative responsibility to identify these children and identify their special needs and address them appropriately. So it does kind of fall under, I mean, I guess the theory really is that the school should have been on notice, that there were issues that could have been taken into consideration with a behavioral intervention plan, or perhaps the IEP is not as comprehensive as it should be, or something like that. So that's the rationale behind that.
I really like that. By making that disclosure and the school's on notice, and when we have those records, when it actually happens, you've got something to kind of fall back on.
Correct.
Rob, one of the things that you talk about a lot is a line of fire. So when an incident happens, there's three things that I've learned from you. Number one, particularly if you're an ADHD parent, you might not want to be the person that goes down to address the situation. That's one. Two is, when these situations occur, there's many times you need to get your ADHD child out of the line of fire, and you need to involve an educational attorney, particularly if it's a school-related incident, and a criminal attorney. And one of the things that's unique about you is you're actually both. It's rare to find those two. So you got these four things that are kind of going on. Get your kid out of line of fire. Number one, if you're the ADHD parent, you might not be the one that should go down there and deal with this. Maybe the spouse should. That's one. Two is, I lost my train of thought. Get your kid out of line of fire. And then the other two is coordinating attorneys and stepping in to stop the team. Can you just speak to those four different perspectives?
Sure.
Right now, as when it occurs, these are key things that you need to know to stop the bleeding so that you can kind of fall back on some of these secondary things.
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with damage control. And when you get that call, obviously you're in a heightened emotional state. Somebody's got to get down there. Ideally, if you're a parent and you are emotionally involved and you may make some errors, you should have an attorney with you. But if not, you've got to get down there yourself. And the biggest mistake that I see parents make is, I see it in two forms. One is the parent will come in and either out of personal, for some personal reason, or to kind of take some of the focus away, they will actually discipline their child in front of the school administrators for whatever's going on. The other parent will stand between their child and the school administrator and vehemently defend their child. Neither one does any good whatsoever. If the principal, and typically what happens is a principal has only the authority to suspend for a couple of days, and then it has to go to a superintendent's determination. So the suspension is going to happen. There's nothing you can do about it. There's no reason to have any substantive discussion at all. Get that kid out of there. Many times the school administration will try to get some kind of a written apology from the student, which is essentially a confession. And if there is potential criminal exposure there, get that kid out of there immediately. It is crucial. If the police are there and they're going to arrest your child, there's nothing you can do to stop them. But if they are not going to arrest your child, take them home immediately. Don't pass, go. Don't collect your $200. Get them out of there. It's really very important because there's nothing you're going to do to unsuspend them or address the situation. Get them out of there. Ideally, you should get an attorney there to assert their rights for them officially. But there's the least exposure they have to this process at this point in time, the better.
So
that's number one.
Yep. Go ahead.
And the other one that you had asked me about was
having the two attorneys.
Oh, the team, yeah. That's really important because if your child has an IEP or a 504 plan, you may have consulted with or spoken to an advocate or an attorney. If you should contact that person immediately and find out if they practice, if they do suspension hearings, if they practice criminal law, if your child is getting arrested. And if you do have to get a criminal attorney involved, what's very important is that you should ask your education attorney to recommend someone that they feel comfortable working with that does this. And I get calls from criminal attorneys all the time about this. And you have to make sure that you coordinate as parents free flow of communication between the education attorney if there is one, the criminal defense attorney if there is one, and your child's clinician. That is key. Very, very, very important. And you want those two attorneys talking because often the criminal defense attorney knows a lot about criminal procedure, but they don't know a whole lot about disabilities and your child's special education needs. And that's really important for a couple of reasons. Number one, if there's an arrest going on at the same time that the discipline process is going on, the superintendent's hearing usually has to be noticed within 5 days. So you will get a quasi-criminal trial or hearing at the school level in which the attorney representing that kid gets to cross-examine all of the witnesses to the incident. And that discovery at such an early stage is crucial for the criminal attorney to have. And so I have actually developed cross-examinations with special ed attorneys and with criminal attorneys. What do you need me to get for your case? How can I get this? And to coordinate that team as a parent is crucial. And I highly recommend you sign HIPAA waivers and FERPA waivers, which entitle the attorneys to educational records and to your child's clinician's mental health care records, because that information is going to be important for the manifestation determination, as well as convincing a judge or a prosecutor that your child needs some type of specialized intervention as opposed to going to jail.
So you're a parent. You've got a 15- or 16-year-old ADHD teen who's impulsive, might be smart, might have a really good GPA, but they still are having some behavioral problems, which is something else we'll kind of talk about in a little bit, and you're a little worried about how this is going to happen. If you go in, you get the diagnosis, you work with the schools, and you get a paper trail, when this thing happens, okay, number one, get them out of line of fire quickly, so they're not saying anything. The more they're there, the more opportunity they're going to create a problem. And then you go back, and now you have the paper trail to fall back on to kind of segregate out. This is the individual, and this is the ADHD side of it, and start to take this other path as a more preventative measure to minimize the train wreck, if you will, actually when it happens. That,
correct.
That makes that's so simplified. Is that's the value of setting up that paper trail, because you can say, see, there's something here, and now you've got other things kind of coming in that are, the school's going to have to do certain things. The other thing, too, is that criminal law and education law are exceptionally different. And through conversations with you, Rob, it's my understanding that there's probably a handful, I can probably count them on one hand, maybe two, of people in the United States that actually understand both of them, of which you are one, but it's rare that anybody knows those two. And it's important, very important, for those two to work together in this process with a mental health provider in order to work together to make the most of the situation. If not, they actually can be working against each other. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. Or just, I mean, the one good thing about the fact that, the only good thing about the fact that your child may be prosecuted and disciplined at school at the same time may be that you get this hearing, which gives you leverage in a criminal case or gives you discovery early in a criminal case. So if you don't know this, that's the one opportunity you're kind of blowing. But there's one other thing I wanted to talk about. What do you do if you're a parent and this happens and you have been reluctant previously to bring all of this up and to report? Are you completely out of the box? Okay? The law provides that if you believe that your child has a disability or something that needs to be looked at, and there is a discipline process already in motion, you have the right to an expedited evaluation. You have to make the request in writing. Now, in New York State, they have 15 days to do it. It has to be done very quickly. In other states, it just has to be done as soon as possible. But what happens is, at that point, what you want to do is develop a paper trail of all of the disciplinary reports that really scream of some type of Asperger's, OCD, conduct disorder, ODD, all these years, and really try to bolster that. Now, I will tell you that schools are reluctant to classify students to begin with, and if there is a behavioral issue that gives rise to an arrest on campus and a discipline process, they're going to be even less likely to agree with you and classify your student. But you still have to try. It's very, very, very important. And it's an issue that you may be able to raise on appeal at an impartial hearing at some point in time. So you still have to try and do that. And it can be done. It's just more difficult.
Yeah, well, you know, Caroline, I'm listening to him, and I'm like, it's like a mountain you got to climb on the backside. I mean, it can be doable, but it seems to me like, oh, my God, it's almost overwhelming because the odds are against you. The schools are kind of fighting you just to kind of get what you need. Any thoughts for your perspective on that?
Well, yeah, I actually had a question, Rob, on that sort of mountain. You know, you're an expert, and you probably wouldn't be fooled by this, but, you know, I have schools tell parents all the time, don't worry about it. You don't need a diagnosis. You don't need an education plan. And, you know, my question would be, if you're a parent and you kind of didn't take those steps, right, you believed or you just didn't do it, and you get into this situation, you know, I would assume that that there is some protection just based on the history, and that's what you're saying. You're saying that the history could be on your side in that situation. If there's, you know, a history going back to kindergarten of incidents, it's almost like the strikes against the kid in terms of their incidences and, you know, times to the principal and all that would be kind of that, a little bit of that paper trail, even though we're advocating, like, you know, obviously getting the protections of the IEP and 504.
Caroline, it may be all you have, and you have to use it. And what's interesting also is your biggest nightmare as a parent with a child that has behavioral problems is the school's code of conduct and the disciplinary reports that come home all too frequently. But the fact of the matter is, if you find yourself in this situation, the code of conduct is often ignored by parents, and there's a lot in there that can actually help you. If you actually sit and read your child's school's code of conduct, you would be shocked at how many things that they evaluate your child on that have nothing to do with academics. They have to be polite and timely and well-groomed and all of these things, respect each other's property, all of these things that are in that code of conduct that they're evaluated on, and their failure to be able to comply with them really can scream of the disability in and of itself. And you can even take it a step further. When they get those report cards that come in, there usually is a column for A, B, C, or whatever academic grade they get. There's also a column for comments. He's a bright boy, but he can't keep his mouth shut. He's constantly
right.
talking to his neighbors. He's talking out in class. All of these things that scream the disability that was there, and either the parents were talked out of looking into it further, or they were intimidated by it, or whatever. When your back is up against the wall and something like this happens, you have to do whatever you have to do to protect your child, and that's what I'm just trying to provide you with some options here.
That's great, Rob. Thank you so much. That's a great way of framing it.
We want to hold that thought. We need to go to a break. Everybody, it's Rob Todisco, TUDISCO.com, and we'll be
right
back. It's
RobertTodisco.com.
Thank you very much. I'm so used to Rob. RobertTodisco.com. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution, misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Everybody, we're having a great conversation, an educational conversation, and an insightful conversation with Rob Todisco and my co-host tonight, Carolyn McGuire, about parents and what to do to prevent things. And every once in a while, Rob, I get kind of opinionated on this particular show about things that I really kind of believe in. And if you ever really pay attention to our intro, this is a show that pays attention to attention. And we've been talking a little bit about the particular situations, but at the end of the day, attention fascinates me because it all – what's obvious depends on what you're paying attention to. And I think one of the key takeaways tonight is if you establish that your child has ADD and you have a paper trail and there's something happens, you're in a much better position to say, see, we've got something kind of going on here. If you don't have that paper trail, you still can go and do some things. But at the end of the day, after it's happened, the school's paying attention to their interest. You're paying attention to your interest. And when people start to do that, things kind of get in the way. You and I did a show a long time ago, oversimplifying it. It's the school's responsibility to go out and find kids in need. It's the school's responsibility to go provide some services. But at the end of the day, they've got budgets, they've got training, they've got issues that they're doing. And if you're a parent and you sit there and think that that's the way that system works, you're going to be really misunderstood because in theory it's supposed to, but it doesn't. And we did the show to really prepare parents. It's like, listen, you got to be an active part of that. And coming back to here is, I think the key tonight is if you think ahead and you have the paper trail, and you understand the process, it's going to save you a lot of angst on the backside. There's still going to be some issues, but it can mitigate some of that stuff. There's certainly some umbrellas on the other side, but still, it's really kind of an uphill battle. And if anything, if you're in that situation, begin to think about this stuff kind of proactively.
Absolutely.
I got another question for you, and actually, Carolyn, I'm going to let you ask this because you texted it to me kind of during break. Ask Rob the question about counsel.
So Rob, one of the things I've been thinking of as an ADHD coach, because I work with families exclusively, and, you know I have a list of advocates on my computer. I know how to find them here in Massachusetts, but you know, many parents, especially if they haven't had to get legal counsel, you know, wouldn't know. I mean, I can picture listening to this and thinking, where do you get an education attorney? Where do you get a criminal attorney? You know, and these things always happen, you know, 4:30 on a Friday afternoon. What would you recommend?
Well, first of all, I think you're being kind. As someone who's been practicing criminal defense law, nobody gets arrested unless it's after midnight, trust me. In any event, there are a number of resources that you have that are out there. Number one, CHAD is probably the largest international organization that supports the ADHD community. CHAD has a network of chapters throughout the United States. Each chapter typically has I was a chapter coordinator at one time, keeps a resource directory of professionals in their area, which would include clinicians, advocates, attorneys, etc. Another excellent resource for parents is the Council of Parents, Attorneys, and Advocates, COPA. It's an organization that I belong to, COPAA.org, and they have a number of different resources for parents. They also have a professional directory of advocates and attorneys for most jurisdictions throughout the United States. I'm licensed to practice in New York, but I get calls because of the articles I write from attorneys and parents all over the country, and reach out. There are communities out there with resources out there. We're not perfect, but we try to help as best we can. So,
I'm glad Caroline asked that question, because it's easy for us to sit here and say, hey, just got to get the attorney. But when it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you need somebody and you haven't looked through those resources, it's kind of better to maybe even interview and identify some people on the front side of it if you're worried about it. Because if you do the research and you've got a name of somebody that you can go to and you never need them, God love you. You're not in a situation. But if you can, think through this stuff and have that stuff done. Because, again, if you have the paper trail and you've got those people, when it happens, get the kid out of line of fire, start executing your plan, and you can minimize the damage.
Right. One of the reasons I try to alert parents to a lot of this stuff is that hopefully they won't. I hope that they won't need to use it someday.
Right.
But if you do, you've got, you know, you at least have been schooled to a certain extent.
That's great. Thank you.
We don't have a lot of time left, but I just want to touch base. We did an interview with Dr. Thomas Brown a while ago about having ADHD and high IQ, and it was a fascinating conversation with me because it was very clear ADHD and IQ have absolutely nothing to do with it. So if you take a look at the percentage of the ADHD population compared to the percentage of the general population that Mensa, it's more or less the same number. And I say that because some can be getting good grades, but that doesn't necessarily mean they don't have behavioral problems that are kind of creating some issues. And when you go to the school sometimes, they'll look at the grades and say, hey, the grades are fine, as if not to kind of get involved in some of these other things. Can you just speak to that for a second?
Yes, thank you for asking that question, Jeff. That's an excellent question, because when an honor student gets in a fight in the gym and is facing a discipline process, and the parents go into the principal's office or to the superintendent's office and say, but our son's an honor student, the first words out of the mouth of the administration are going to be, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, there's more to being a student than their grades. Well, you should say the exact same thing, and you have every right under the law to say the same thing when the school says to you, he's not failing, so he doesn't qualify for services, because that's not the law. There is more that goes into being a student than what their report card says academically. And that's why we have behavioral intervention plans. And that's why we have 504 plans with accommodations and IEPs and so on, because they're necessary.
And so just a diatribe is, we've done lots of interviews before. If you've listened to the show, you know I'm a big fan of Dr. Barkley's executive functioning, which is really ADHD's a self-regulation issue, which is a directing action back on yourself to change your behavior, to change the future. And if you begin to understand that simple concept, I flew through it, ADHD is not confined to work and school. ADHD manifests in food prep. You've got to plan for the future to go buy it. You've got to sit down and you've got to kind of prepare and cook it. You've got to kind of clean it up. All those things are difficult. It's difficult for many of those with ADHD to remember to take their medications, relationships. ADHD is 24/7, and it's just not the academic result. It's the behavioral stuff and the interaction, the social part of it. So when you go out there, understand that ADHD, while it's easier to spot in a work environment or an academic environment, it really permeates every aspect. Like, we've even done shows about the impact of ADHD on sex and intimacy, which is fascinating to me. And Dr. Ari Tuckman's done some research. We'll be having a show out there pretty soon. But I went on a little bit of a diatribe. My point really is that it's not just about the grades. They can be an honor student and have some other issues, and it's important to realize that and set up that paper trail in advance, because if you've got it, it's going to make the backside a heck of a lot easier. Caroline, any last thoughts or anything before we let Rob wrap this up?
No, Rob, I'm really glad you did this show. I actually am going to be sharing this show with a bunch of people who are struggling with that very statement that you made, where the school administration, the minute something goes wrong, says, you know, students are expected to conduct themselves in more than just the academic arena, yet when you're going for an IEP, you know, about a social issue or something, you know, it's brought to you that the grades are fine. He should be in Mensa. He's so smart. So I really think that this is a valuable discussion, because I think that there's a preventative nature to having this information. And I'm really glad you shared those resources. Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm happy to do it. Thank you.
Rob, anything left that we haven't covered to wrap things up?
On this topic, no. I just wanted to make mention of something that I'm working on, and
before we close
up tonight.
Yep, absolutely.
Many of us have been involved with CHADD for years, Jeff as well as myself, and CHADD is the largest organization. There are 12,000 members of CHADD throughout the world, but there are 15 million people in the United States with ADHD, and I am spearheading a campaign for CHADD to reach out to those 15 million people with the 12,000 people that we have. And we're asking people to stand up and own their ADHD. Look out in social media over the next few weeks for hashtag one of 15 million. And we're going to be asking people to stand up and own their ADHD, and we're going to try to raise awareness and eliminate the stigma, and also try to raise some resources for some programming over at CHADD.
So that's hashtag, when you say one, is it the number one or O-N-E?
O-N-E of 15M, that's the hashtag. One
okay.
of 15M.
So it's hashtag O-N-E-O-F, the number 15M.
Correct.
Yeah, I was just thinking, which one is that? So that's everybody, look out for that. And I, as an advocate, we've done some shows on stigma, and it's difficult for an individual to make a statement like that. But the more people who come out and make that statement,
it makes it easier for other people to do it. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It removes it. So it's a little bit difficult, but it really brings acceptance. So in the long run, it's best for the community, for everybody to come out and stand in unison, and this is a great opportunity. And Rob is, I know you're going to do a great
job. I'm very open about my ADHD. I'm one of the 15 million.
He is, which is a great story. Go back and listen to our community asset, because we talk all about the fundraising and some of the marathons he's done to do that. So with that, we'll wrap things up. Rob, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a treat and a pleasure.
Thank you for having me, Jeff, and thank you for giving me the forum to give this information to parents.
My pleasure, everybody. Learn more about Rob Tedisco at www.roberttedisco.com. And with that, Robert, thank you so much. And Caroline, thanks for joining me tonight.
No problem. Thank you.
All right, everybody. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.